We're going to see a lot today in the scripture. If you've got your outlines, you'll know there's a good number of scriptures there. We're not going to go through every one by one, but and if I could get a copy, I forgot one. Thank you, Pastor Anija. So I just want to start you out with a story. And in the age of superheroes, I want to tell you about my favorite superhero of all. Here he is. This is Cliff Young. Cliff Young is one of my all-time favorite superheroes. This picture was taken of him in 1983. He's an Australian potato farmer. And here's the story. In 1983, as they did every year in Australia, they would have the Ultra Marathon from Sydney to Melbourne. It was hundreds and hundreds of miles, and everybody who would race in it would race for literally over 7 days. It was an over 7 day marathon where you would run for 18 hours, and then you would pull off, and then you would get some rest, and you'd pick up and run again. Well, this was the premier kind of Ironman in all of the world in those days, 1983. In 1983, the news world went all abuzz because this guy showed up to race. Cliff Young was 61 years old when he signed up to race the ultra marathon. He showed up in farmer's overall bib kind of things, jeans, and some kind of like farmer galoshes because he figured he might get wet while he's running. All right, Todd, do you know this story? Do you know Cliff Young? All right, you just Google him. So everybody was like, what in the world are you doing? Showed up to this thing. And his answer was this. He grew up as a potato farmer out in the bush, and their family never had horses or things like that. So when he had to round up sheep or any other livestock, he literally would just go out in the back and run and round them up on foot. This is what he would do. And this is what he said. He said, I just figured, you know, I've run all my life. I think I could do this. You know, I'd go out and I'd run for like 3-4 days and come on back. Well, you can imagine the media was having a field day with this story, all right? And, you know, they're kind of like, what are you doing? Some people were kind of offended that he was running. Some people were just thought it was a cool story. He's getting all this press. Well, the day of the race to begin came, and sure off, you know, the whistle, you know, the starting gun went off, and everybody's running, and then here comes Cliff Young, all right? And they're literally, and if you Google it, you'll know the story's a little better than I'm telling it. He literally had like it was like the Cliff Young shuffle. He had this little weird kind of run. They did. And everybody's running out, and he's just kind of doing this, going. And I mean, you know, a day into, you know, 10 hours into the race, all these guys are way, way out ahead of him. And like, you know, 3 hours later, here comes Cliff Young. Well, a funny thing happened as he was running. Cliff Young assumed that a 7 day marathon meant you just ran 24 hours a day. And so what happened was, after 18 hours, when all the runners went to go sleep, Cliff Young just kept running every day for 5 straight days. He ran 5 straight days. He broke, I don't know if I'm going to get the details exactly right, he broke the ultra marathon record by like 12 hours. He didn't just finish, he won it by hours. And the reason he ran, because he just kind of kept running. And someone at the end of the race was interviewing him and said, Cliff, how did you do this? And like, you know, what was your secret? And again, you could Google it and hear it better than I'm telling it. He said, well, love, I just didn't stop. That was my secret. I just didn't stop. And I think some of us have to learn to not stop when it's getting dark in our lives. You know, some of us are worried about if we're more talented or if everybody else is for us or against us. Some of us are worried about, you know, we're comparing ourselves a lot and we're thinking about who's around us and what's going on. And I really think the word of the Lord today is just keep running through the darkness. Like, don't stop just because it's getting dark. Don't stop because last week you're running into a storm. In the Greek, it's this, you got to keep running. All right, just keep running. Keep running at night. There's some things in your life that are not going to resolve themselves as fast as everybody else around you is getting resolution. Your answers are not necessarily going to come as fast as everybody else's answers aren't going to come. But if you do one thing, if you just keep running, if you keep giving to Jesus what you know to give to Jesus, if you keep just trying and don't give up, don't stop just because you're tired, don't stop just because it's night and everybody else is telling you, oh yeah, when it gets this dark in your life, you should just stop. We all stop. Why don't you just stop? Now, you know the word of the Lord is this. No, just keep going. Like, my grace is sufficient. It may just be this little waddle, but just keep going. Because you're going to get further down. You're going to get to victory faster than you realize if you'll just keep running at night. And the reason we're doing this whole series is because the scripture says that when it gets dark and when everybody else around us tells us we should stop running because they stop running when it's that dark, they give up when it's that hard. If that happened to them, this is what they do. So why don't you do that too? Because the Bible tells us we don't look at those people to determine whether we stop or not. The one person we keep our eyes fixed on is Jesus, who ran through all the darkness and didn't stop. Who ran through, who endured the cross, who dealt with shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, that we, instead of listening to everybody else saying, yeah, that's too hard, you should just stop. We're all going to stop right now. Why don't you stop too? Instead, why don't you consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man so that you will not grow weary and lose heart? And can I get an amen for that? Because that's a good word. That's a word that we need to hear. That there is an ability when all the world is saying at night, I'm just going to give up and I'm not going to do it anymore. There's something that is in the life of Christ that's in you and I that can keep going. So that's really what this whole series is about. It's this idea that his story, that there's one who didn't stop at all the things that make other people stop. He didn't stop. He won a victory, and he's offering it to you and I. And as we've been looking at the series, I think there's some things that should make us shout and celebrate. Because what we looked at was Jesus, he's run through everything we've got to run through. He's been through the darkness. He gets where you're at. And he ran through it to victory. He got to victory, he just didn't stop. Because there was a grace and the goodness of God in his life. He is the Son of God. He came down to show us a way we could live. And so what we've been saying every week for the last 4 weeks, Jesus took our life of defeat and gave us a life of victory. Now the issue is, there's one who's always trying to steal that, right? There's Satan. He's always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's working pretty hard to leverage the world because the world stops at night and the world gives up at the night and the world just says, let's just go to sleep. So the world doesn't get the way that it can happen, but the enemy is always trying to get us to look at the world and say, why don't you stop like they're stopping? And instead, there is the Son of God who comes into the world and says, you don't have to stop at all. You can run right through that darkness. You can run right through that night to the victory I have for you. And so if you look at what we've talked about over the last week, Jesus ran right through the darkness. He ran right through the lies and the brokenness of this world. He came in and he didn't fit. And everybody was like, I don't get him. He doesn't fit in everything. He doesn't do it the way I want it done. He doesn't act like the world thinks he should act. He chose his own way. And this is just the good news of it all, that in Christ, you are not what the world calls you. Somebody should say amen a little louder to that. All right, in the world, you are not what the world calls you. And whatever the world's labeled you, and whatever the world says you are, and however that, and I tell you what, the world will tell you something, and in the beginning, it'll clap for you that you're that, and in the end, it'll condemn you for being that. All right, you need to know today that in Christ, you are not what the world has called you. You are free from that in him, and you don't have to live by that at all. I love that Jesus, he ran through the darkness of the power of sin and Satan. And I always remind us that the best way to think of sin is just selfishness. Your selfishness is, that's just the sinful nature in you saying, I'll hurt you if it's good for me. And that's the sinful nature. And Jesus walked as a man in the midst of this world. And he walked right through it. And he overcame it. And even though Satan was trying to lie constantly about who he is, and I think the good news of all that is you are not the sin of your past. That does not have to define your life. You may have to live with the reminder that life has been full of some times that you didn't make great decisions, but the thing we celebrate in Jesus Christ is that that does not define you. And in fact, what the enemy wants to use to define you into death, God can turn around to be the sweetest victory in your life. Sweetest victory in your life. That's why we love him. He ran through the night of you. Some of us in this room, because of the mistakes of our past, will after a while, I mean, this is what happens. After a while, we'll start feeling better and we won't think about it anymore. And we'll run into a problem and it will remind us of the mistake and we'll stop all over again. It'll just get nighttime and we'll say, I think I'm just going to go to sleep. And some of us go to sleep by the substances we consume, by the stuff we watch, by the way we check out, we just go to sleep. And we're feeling pretty good. And we feel like there's these times we come into church and we get some hope. And we start living like something can be new. And then something in our life reminds us of the mistake of the past. And it's nighttime again and we just stop. You are not the sin of your past. One more amen for that. And then I love this other one, the loneliness of our heart. We talked about we live in this culture where we got hundreds and hundreds of friends online. And we're all alone at night in our hearts, wondering who's loving us and who's taking care of us. Are we going to be okay? And Christ walked in that place. And if anybody knew what it was to be betrayed, if anybody knew what it was for nobody else to understand what he was going through, it was Christ. And yet Christ walked through that without sin all the way to the cross and all the way to victory. And the good news is you are not alone and you are not unloved. You're not. You're not. And the whole joy of this past, especially last week, was that God was actually inviting us into a picture of how to live with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always with you. That you're never alone. That you have a heavenly Father whose love is covering you. And you have the Holy Spirit that's with you, always guiding you. And the Son, His grace, is lighting the way and showing you how to work. That's the good news. And I want us to recognize, and I kind of mentioned in the Facebook video, that although we're Jesus-centered as a church, we're not Jesus-only, all right? It's not just Jesus, it's the Father and the Son. And Jesus lived this life that the Father and Son were always with him. So one of the things I want to propose to you today is you and I never, well, maybe it's just me, you never read a story of Jesus the right way. Because you get to the 5 loaves and 2 fish and you see Jesus. But when it was Jesus there, Jesus saw the Father and the Spirit right with him. Every story of Jesus that you read, to Jesus, the Father and Son were right there with him. A matter of fact, what the scripture tells us is that there is a way for us to walk in that same light. And here's the good news. I skipped over a slide. I'll give it to you right now. Jesus didn't just run through the night for you. He actually showed you how to run through the night. And the answer is, you're not running alone. You are not running alone. The Father is with you. The Spirit is with you. Notice the verse, John 14, 26, 27. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, notice the Trinity right there in the first line, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Would everybody read the rest of this verse with me out loud? Here we go. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Let's read that one more time because you need to hear yourself say that out loud. Let's do it again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Turn to your neighbor, say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. No. And we need to hear this again. We need to remember that the Son gave us a life that always includes the Father and the Spirit. Let's see if I got this next slide. Jesus was able to run through the darkness of this world by always having the Father and the Holy Spirit leading, loving, and flowing through him. And I want to invite you into a new way to look at life. That every time you call on the name of Jesus, you're inviting not just Jesus, but the Father and the Spirit into your moment. So that literally, every place you go and everything you do, the family of God is around you. The family of God is around you. And I think sometimes we kind of look at knowing Jesus like, Jesus, you know, it's just you, and I'm going to try to please you, and I'm going to try to do what's right, and I hope this mess I'm in will be acceptable enough to you. And yet what Jesus died to give us was he shows us a way to live, he shows us forgiveness, and he says, now let me give you the Holy Spirit to be right next to you. Remember, the Father's love is always watching over you. That's a different way to live. Jesus, listen to John 5, 19, 20, what Jesus himself said on earth. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. Think about these next sentences, these next words. The Son can do nothing by himself. You want to think about that for a second? The Son of God on earth said, on this earth, I can't do anything by myself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Father, there's that word about the Father. He loves the Son, and he shows him all he does. When Jesus walked this earth, his identity was always divinity, but his ability was always in the realm of people. I'm just going to live like a person lives. I'm not going to pull the special God card. I'm going to live in a way that this is a relationship. I'm going to have a relationship with the Father and the Spirit that every one of us in this room can have. So what Jesus did, you can do. The revolution Jesus was, you can be. The miracles Jesus performed, you can perform them. Are you going to perform them because you're all excited about what you can do? No, you're only going to be looking at the Father. And when the Father says, I know everybody else is going to sleep and giving up, I'm telling you right now, I've got power for you to go through that. I'm going to actually forget the dark. Let's make it light right now. The Father can do that through you. But we have to understand in a fresh way, this whole series is about taking a fresh look at Jesus, a fresh look at God. We've got to understand that every story you read in the gospel and you just read Jesus, when Jesus was there, it was always the Father and the Spirit with him. There was never a moment it wasn't. Every miracle he did, every answer he gave, every time he shut up the Pharisees, and every time he said something beautiful to the woman caught in adultery or lost, the Father and the Spirit were right there. He was never doing it alone, and we shouldn't either. Now, of course, since that is the gift of eternal life, the Father's love never stops in our life, the Spirit's power is never not guiding us, you always have. Now, I want you to think about this. You always have the answer you need. The problem is, sometimes the answer is, you're doing fine, just keep going. But you're so worried about getting to the answer, like the result, you're so afraid that it won't work out, you're pushing God for an answer. He's saying, I'm telling you, I've got you. Just keep walking. Keep walking, I'm with you. We live in a world where fear wants to overcome us and comparisons want to teach us not to look at the Father. The world teaches us to look at other people. And then we try to pray to God and ask for an answer because of what we're looking for other people, and we wonder why we're not getting an answer. It's like, why don't you just look at me? Now, if the enemy was going to do anything in your life to make sure that as far down the road you got, that you didn't get any further, he would confuse and twist up your perception of the Holy Spirit. That's what he would do. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that's with you all the time. And sometimes in church world, we're really guilty of making the Holy Spirit about church services when the Holy Spirit's supposed to be who's with you every moment of every day, living with you and guiding you. When it gets dark, he's the one saying, you can keep going. And so I want us to have a fresh understand. Let's take a fresh look at what Jesus, how Jesus lived with the Holy Spirit, because everything he did, the way he lived his life on earth with the Holy Spirit, is the way you and I should live our life with the Holy Spirit. And before I, before you hear some Bible verses, I want you to hear a story. This is a book, Jesus Continued, by J.D. Greer. Now, by the way, every time you're looking at something in the bookstore or the Christian bookstore about the Holy Spirit, you know there's a wide opinions about, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, miracles for today, things like that. So you do have to learn to be a person who actually eats the chicken and spits out the bones, right? Okay, because I can't possibly be there for you every 2 seconds, right, wrong, or, you know, I mean, it's just, you've got to learn to be able to do that. So I don't even know if J.D. Greer believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not. But I love some of the stuff he's saying about life in the Holy Spirit. So I can read it and then just understand. Can we do that? Is that okay? It's not going to like, wrong, burn me. Okay, it's like, it's okay. Just read it. Read it. Know it's true. And then, you know, study the Bible and get your answers. Okay, so he says this story. He says, I have a friend, I call him Brennan, who served for several years as a leader in our church, a bright young college senior. Brennan was well-spoken, well-regarded, and a leader both on his college campus and in our church. But Brennan had a dark secret he had shared with no one. He had same-sex attraction that led him to pornography and eventually to a string of hookups with random guys he had met over the internet in chat rooms. By the time Brennan finally confessed his sin to his campus leader and me, he was a broken young man. He had already desperately tried everything he could think of to fix himself. We've all been there. He had memorized scripture, made vows, and even gotten rid of his internet connection. Yet his quote-unquote problem was getting worse. So together, we plotted out a course of recovery that involved professional counseling, more scripture, and high accountability. Brennan progressed a little, and for a brief season, it looked as if he were gaining victory, only to fall back into the same dark valley. Eventually, he checked himself into an intensive ministry that helps believers get control of the lusts of the flesh. Brennan showed up at my house 8 months later, noticeably different. I asked him what he had learned. I want you to hear this next line. I didn't learn anything new, he said, but I did learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. I always knew he was there, but I didn't know how to relate to him. Brennan told me he had been surprised at how frequently the counselors at his ministry, all of whom had come through their own struggles and sexual addictions, referred to the Holy Spirit. They talked about him like he was real, like someone they met with daily. And for them, the Spirit was not a theological concept, not a power, but a person with whom they interacted and whom they depended on. I'm telling you right now, there's a life that Jesus led that there was, no matter the darkness, there was a beautiful gift. And it wasn't just in knowing some principles, but it was learning to lean in to the person of the Holy Spirit. I want you to just look at the life of Jesus with me for a few moments, and these verses are on your outline. Jesus, his whole earthly life began because of the Holy Spirit. That's the one verse I didn't have room for. But we remember the Christmas story. The angel shows up to Mary and says, what? Who's showing up? The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the one born of you is going to be from the Holy Spirit. It's going to be the Son of God. And you and I, when we become a Christian, the new life we live is because of the Holy Spirit. So when you come to Christ, when all of a sudden you figure out that you need him and that you want him and that you begin to sense him and you invite him in by faith, that's the Holy Spirit creating a new life for you on this earth. And then Luke 4:1, It's there. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. And guess what? Was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit is what walked Jesus through the hard things he needed to face. Sometimes we use the Holy Spirit as a way to escape and not deal with anything. And yet in Jesus' world, okay, in Jesus' life, the Holy Spirit led him to deal with painful things. He had to get through the temptation of the wilderness and gain authority over the enemy. So now that he went to go minister to more people, he'd already beaten the one that was holding them captive. And the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit is leading us to face some hard things in our life. And we're sitting there going, God, why don't you love me? Why are you doing this to me? And God's saying, no, I want you to gain victory and authority over this because you've got work to do. Because I value your life and I didn't put you on this earth for nothing. You've got to go make a difference. And it's the Holy Spirit that will be with you and help you overcome. The next scripture, Luke 4:18. Most of us, you know, if we've been in church a while, we've heard. Jesus finally, he gets through the desert. It says he comes back full of the Holy Spirit. All through that temptation, all through that, he's still full of the Holy Spirit. He comes back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says to everyone as he announces the kingdom coming, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Here again, it's the Spirit of God that's leading in everything he's doing. Professionals, okay? The Spirit of God should be about your work. The Spirit of the Lord can be upon you to walk through those places you're owning your business or you're doing your work. When you're caring for your aging parent, when you're watching over your kids, the Spirit of the Lord is supposed to be upon you because we don't do anything without the Son of Man can't even do anything by himself. He's always connected with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Notice Hebrews 9:14. I think this is a really important verse. I didn't notice this verse until the study. It's right there, your notes. How much more then will the blood of Christ, notice the next line, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. It was the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to walk all the way through the cross. It's the Holy Spirit with him. And then notice Romans 8:13. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. It's the Spirit of God that raised Christ up. So we could actually be in places where we think, that is over. I have just shredded that. I've crucified that. That is done. There's no way that's living again. And the Holy Spirit can walk with you and bring new life where you swore it was over. It's where you swore it was over. I love this quote. This will actually be part of one of the resources I offer when we start this Wednesday with Introduction to the Holy Spirit. This resource as well, Does Not Believe in the Baptism of the Holy Spirit, is something you continue to seek. For those of you who don't necessarily know, there's kind of two opinions in church about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the idea of when you're saved, that's the Holy Spirit, you're baptized right then. And then there's the idea that, I want to be careful because I never want to miscategorize or oversimplify what other people believe. But then there's the idea, it's like, no, it's not just the Holy Spirit right then, but all the time we should be seeking more and more of the Holy Spirit, actually a fresh filling. And if you get to my class on Wednesday night, I will unpack that for you a little bit. But this one doesn't agree with me theologically, but I love what it says right here. The Holy Spirit was at work in every event in Jesus' incarnation. When Jesus healed, overcame temptation, taught, prayed, endured on his crucifixion, everything was attributed to the Spirit's power. Like Jesus, we must completely depend on the, I love this thought. Like Jesus, we must completely depend on the Holy Spirit from new birth to our own death and our final resurrection. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that brings us home. Isn't that beautiful? So what does Paul say in Galatians, right? You who began in the Holy Spirit, what does he say next? Why are you trying to finish this in your own effort? Hey, it's the Holy Spirit that led you to your job. So why are you trying to do it outside the Holy Spirit? Because he's the one that's like, Sean, the Holy Spirit did not lead me to that job. Yeah, no, maybe it's just your wilderness. Holy Spirit led you there. The Father's loving you. He's watching over. Why are you trying to do this job without the Holy Spirit? Why are you trying to do it and not remember that the Father is with you and the Spirit will guide you in all things? There are things you and I need to remember again about who Jesus said he was and how he lived his life? And are we in any way trying to say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but then we're trying to live it out a different way? We're trying to live it out without the Father and the Holy Spirit, but Jesus said, I wouldn't dare go on this earth and not live it out with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So that's where we need to begin to hear something new. To run through the darkness, we need to live exactly how Jesus lived. The relationship he had with the Holy Spirit while on earth is the same relationship we are supposed to have with the Holy Spirit right now. We can read through the gospel and we can say, that's my life. That's my life. And that's really the invitation. I'm not going to offer you a bunch of ideas of how to do it. I'm just going to say, what was Jesus' advice? Why don't you wait? Why don't you wait until it comes? And I'll have a few thoughts about how you can wait for it, how you can wait for, not it, sorry, for the work of the Holy Spirit in a new way, to see who he is in a new way. But we've got to get out of this just power or some of the bad misrepresentations. Let's not even think about church services. Let's just think about our life. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with you in that. So I'm doing this class, if you want a biblical understanding, because here's the deal. The guard of the Holy Spirit in our lives, really, there's two safeguards to make sure we're doing it right. One is the life of Christ, how he lived. Why don't you live that way? And the other is the Word of God. You know, we don't do it our opinion. It's not what I feel like. It's not what other churches do or what I've seen. It's the Word of God. So if you want to study the Word of God with me and see that from Genesis 1:3, Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father, they're right there. They're always doing it all together. We need to start doing it all together. We could do that. You could come this Wednesday. If you can't make it for some reason and you want me to suggest some things for you to watch, I can. You just need to know. There's almost nothing out there that 100% theologically lines up. You know, it's just like, you just got to like, you got to take it, learn to grow. So if you want some of that, you just email me. I'll help you out with that. So let's look back at this idea, because this is where we started. You've got to learn to not stop when it's getting dark out. So turn to your neighbor, say, don't stop. Then say, running man on this beat, running man, don't stop. No, okay, never mind. That was something different. You got it. That was great. Just don't stop. All right? There's always a family with you. I've been trying to do that this week because I'm growing in this. I'm like, you know, Jesus, it's not just you with me. And I'm so thankful, but Holy Spirit, you're with me. So the idea, Father, this is always covered in your love. Whatever I'm going through, it's always covered in your love. Man, these people, they may do it wrong. This may be sin, but you're offering me a covering. Like, I don't have to act like I'm not loved right now, no matter how I'm feeling my circumstance. And as I'm going, it's like, Holy Spirit with you. I'm not alone. Well, I wish I could just get to my Bible real quick. Well, at some point, yes. But you know what? Right now, I'm with you. And I promise to guide you. And, you know, if I ever, I mean, just literally, just keep thinking about Jesus. Keep thinking about his life. What do I do? You know, I'm not a big WWJD guy, but it's like that applies. It's like I'm just going to do something the way Jesus would do it right now until I know more. And then if I don't know more out of those three things, I must not need to. But the world says you do. But the world says, no, not what the world says. I've got a Father who loves me. I've got the Spirit that's with me. I've got the Son that's guiding the way. I've got grace. I'm going to be fine. I just said that. I'm going to be fine. Why don't you say that? Say it right now. I'm going to be fine. Yeah, that feel good? Simone, you got that all in here? Okay, that's good. So, let's go back to the verse. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you the way the world gives. Boy, that's another sermon. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Everybody say the last part with me. Do not be afraid. God's with you. So here's my question. All right, super cheesy. 3D glasses, no 3P glasses. Here we go. I always need to see every situation I'm in through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's always with me. I mean, when Jeff Patton is working on a car, and like, I don't know how he does everything he does, Father, Son, Holy Spirit with him in that moment. When Jacob Smith is doing something brilliant at the bank. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When John Hine is visiting parents, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When someone comes in the middle of my day and shares some big news, it's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Spirit. They're with me at all times. The Father loves me. The Son has given me a grace. There are no debts involved anymore. The Spirit will guide and empower me. And so I just want us to finish with these three things that I think are how our life gets pretty dark. I think when we remember we're in the Father's love, I don't think we have to live in self-pity. I think self-pity kills us, and the world teaches us to live in that. I think everything about the Facebook world and the social media world and the news world is actually, they're trying to celebrate self, but all it's teaching you to do is feel sorry for yourself in the end. I think the Son's grace is always there. You are not the sin of your past. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. Like, today's a new day for you. Today is a day that the grace of God is more than sufficient. And I think this idea of self-reliance, and I'm really guilty of this one, man. And I tell you, my trick is the enemy will remind me of something I did wrong and say, see, Sean, you did it wrong. And then I think, okay, I'm going to do better right now. Yeah, that doesn't work. I was reminded of the story. I was thinking about all the stories where I only typically read Jesus in the story, but I forget that Jesus didn't view it that way. The Father and the Spirit were with him. And I thought of the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Because it's Jesus, right? But no, the Father and the Spirit, they're there with him in that moment. And it's the Father's love that gives the Son compassion to say, hey, and if you read the story, especially in Mark 6, the context, the setup of the story of the 5 loaves, 2 fish is this. The disciples have come back. They're way too tired. They've been pushing so hard. And Jesus is actually trying to get them away from the crowd, but the crowd finds them. And if you read Mark 6, they just found out the news of John the Baptist. And at least a few of the disciples of Jesus were disciples of John. And so they just heard that their mentor and one of the people they looked up in life was murdered by the government. I mean, that's what that story is. They're in the middle of feeling all these things, and Jesus is trying to get them away. And Jesus isn't surprised. He knows what's going to happen. He tries to pull them away. Instead, just more people, more crowd, more pressure, more need, more I've got to handle. What do I do? And the scripture says that Jesus has compassion. Like, he's in the middle of all this. He still is hearing from the Father that the Father loves all the people around him. The disciples don't say it at all, because what are they going to say to Jesus? Tell these people to go away. Tell them to go. We can't take care of them, Jesus. You know, and that's what happens when we forget the Father and the Spirit is with us. People start being a burden to us instead of a blessing. Instead of being the opportunity to see God do something great, they're the place where we feel like, I wish I could just get away from them. But Jesus isn't like that. Jesus is with the Father and the Spirit, and all these people around, the disciples are like, and literally they say to him, Jesus, it's getting late. I don't have enough time. Jesus, this is a remote place. The circumstances aren't right. Tell these people to go away so they can get something to eat. And what does Jesus say back to him? No, why don't you give them something to eat? What? Hello, Jesus, are you not seeing what I'm seeing? Jesus is like, I am definitely not seeing what you're seeing. You're just seeing a remote place and a late day. I'm seeing the Father full of love, and I'm seeing the Spirit say, I can do this. But it's late in the day, it's getting dark. Let's just all stop and quit. No, I think we should keep running. I think we should keep going. All right, well, all I got is 5 loaves, 2 fish. I don't know what you can do with it. You know, that's it. It's like, why don't you give it to me? I thought we were supposed to give it to the people. No, why don't you give it to me first? No, I mean, they're the ones who are hungry. Yeah, but give it to me. I'm the one who takes a little. Don't try to answer their need on their own. Don't try to do it yourself. How about come to me? And then He looks up in heaven, which just a little, you know, Luke, I mean, when heaven opened up, show us the Trinity. And the Spirit does what only the Spirit can do. And in the hands of the disciples, I mean, we don't know how it looked, but in the hands of the disciples, it happens. Not when Jesus is blessing them, I mean, maybe, but I mean, it's in the hands of the disciple, it just keeps going. So I think there's some places of 5 loaves and 2 fish in our lives this morning. And we're just like, I don't know what to do. Jesus, could somebody else take care of them? Could someone else do this? I don't have an answer. And I think Jesus is saying, no, I think we've got an answer for you. And so if you look at the inside of this sheet, I've got 3 questions for you today. And I put them in the first person. Where I need to know the Father and His love are with me. Where's the place in your life I need to remember that the Father's love is with me? Where I need to know Jesus and His grace are with me. Okay, please hear this morning. There's grace for what you've done and where you've been. There's grace. Where do you tend not to think about it? Where do I need to know the Holy Spirit and His guidance and power with me? I'm telling you what, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And if you don't understand any more than you've got, I'm telling you, you're going to be okay where you are, because God's got the rest. So what I'm going to invite you to do here in a moment is, I want to invite you to think through that, maybe write it down. I think at some point you should. But as you're doing that, I asked our elders, our deacons this morning. I just said, I feel like the Lord wants to bring a sign of peace, a word of peace to some of us in this room. So I asked them to be in prayer this morning, and not all of them can share in this time. But I'm going to ask for the elders, deacons, if you feel like there's a word that someone needs to hear from a scripture, I'm going to, as we're writing down those places right now where we need to hear, I just felt like the Lord wanted to send an extra clear message to some of us in this room that He knows where we're at, and the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit with us. So does one of the elders or deacons have a word that they want to share? Matt, do you want to just...
The Lord was clear to me that outstretched arm, and 5 times I've seen a scripture, and I want to read this to you. You can replace Egypt with your own structure that is creating spiritual slavery. Has any God ever tried to take for Himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? And if you replace Egypt with the place you're at that is causing great pressure, how does a father pick up his infant with outstretched arms? With dirty diapers, we take them and we restore them in the ways that they need to be restored. That is our Father. You're not beyond His reach. His hand is out to you. You don't have to reach for Him. He's waiting on you.
Amen. Anybody else? Chuck.
Well, this is a very practical reminder, straight from the mouths of Jesus. He reprimands the people listening to Him teaching. He says, oh, you of little faith. People are worried about all the things that they think they're missing and that they need. And He goes on to say, so do not worry, saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So there we are. The Lord has already got your provision. He knows everything that you think you need right now. But he's just saying, put me first. Seek my kingdom, purposes, my righteousness, and all those things will be added. So if you've written a list of all the things you need and all the goals that you think you should accomplish, put it on one side and just ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to tell you, what do you want me to do today, tomorrow?
Amen.
Put that first, and you'll be amazed at how these other things will come into your lap, pressed down, running over, shaking together.
Amen.
Amen.
Is there one other? It's going to be two or three. Pat, I didn't even know you were going to be here today, so I didn't send you the text, but you're already ready.
I feel like one of the things that we suffer from in the church is that we go in and out of condemning ourselves. It's a very simple, easy thing to do, and sometimes we get victory and other times we don't. And so I feel like in order for the message that Pastor Sean has preached today, we really need to understand that there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. That is something that we need to have written on our heart. We need to proclaim it daily. And we need to know that as we live after following the Spirit, he's teaching us about the Spirit. And it's like a little switch inside of us. We can follow the flesh. We can respond the way the flesh wants us to respond. Or we can flip that switch and say, no, this is not what God wants. And we can follow the Spirit. And that's really what I would want to share with you, is just remember that there is now no condemnation, no judging, guilty or wrong, for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. And I also believe that it's important for you to know that as you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, he will.
Yeah.
It's not some deep, dark alley to grope through. He will lead you. And so I just want to encourage you in that.
Amen. The Lord gave me a picture of some of you writing down a place of five loaves and two fish and just tearing off that part of the script, or just, you know, and just come in and as a way of giving it to Jesus, just put it on the altar this morning. I just want to give this to you. God, I could just try to run off and come with a solution, or I could say, God, how do you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, how do you want to handle this? And so I'm going to invite you to stand, and Pastor Brandon's going to lead us in a moment of worship. And as we do that, if you want to take that and write something out, just take a little piece of your notes, and you just crumple it up so no one else sees it, and just say, I just want to bring this and put this back in your hands, Jesus. Let's just finish up with worship this morning, and then Pastor Brandon will dismiss us. Would you just bow your heads with me? I'm just going to ask, if there's any way you need a new beginning, any way you need a new beginning, just need to be refreshed and new, not even just improve what you have, but you just want God to come and do it however he wants in a new way and be with him. I'm just going to ask you to lift a hand right now to the Lord. God, I want a new beginning. God, what I have, I put in your hands. Father, cover me with your love. Jesus, thank you. Forgive me of my sins and pour new grace in my life. Holy Spirit, come and fill me with a love and a joy, a peace and a patience, a kindness, a goodness, a gentleness, a faithfulness, and a self-control that only comes from you. Guide and direct me. As you begin a new life through each of the first disciples and the Peter who went from denying you and being fretful and always being caring more about what people thought than you, to a person who could stand up and share what he needed to share, who could be humble and loved. So transform each of us today. Lord, we thank you that you have done this, and we commit this all to you now.